In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, July 8th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Christian refugees fleeing almost certain death at the hands of ISIS in Iraq and Syria may starve to death in the coming months without immediate help. Help has come to the region, but it seems Christians are the last to receive it. Persecution watchdog group Open Doors says it will take at least $20 million to meet the need. Emily Fuentes from Open Doors spoke to The Worldview and explained why Christians are more likely to be the last to receive aid.
They are a minority in these countries, persecuted mainly by ISIS, but in several countries in the Gulf region especially, and even parts of the Middle East, Christians may not have the same opportunities at a job because of their faith, or education because of their faith. The systematic persecution affects all aspects of life for them, and especially now we're seeing it as they're trying to flee for their life.
These are our Christian heroes of the faith, like those in Hebrews 11:36-38. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. The entire staff of the Decatur County, Tennessee Clerk of Court has resigned following the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling declaring homosexual so-called marriage legal nationwide. According to ChristianNews.net, the three women, Clerk Gwen Pope and employees Sharon Bell and Mickey Butler, have decided to leave their jobs because of their Christian convictions. Pope said, "You don't want to draw attention to yourself for any reason. It's for the glory of God." A number of area residents, including County Commissioner David Burroughs, expressed their support for the women, while others said staying and fighting was better. Wynn Johnson, an attorney who works with Alabama Supreme Court, urged Christian clerks within his state to stay and fight. Johnson wrote in a letter issued to public officials, "Will your conscience cause you to resign? Why would you leave the people of this state, their children, your children, and grandchildren to the wolves? Your duty is to stand." That's what the founders of our country did. In the book of Acts, chapter 22:25-29, some men tried to unlawfully punish Paul when he reminded them of his rights. "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" Paul asked. When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So those who were about to flog him withdrew from him immediately, and the commander also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen. The U.S. trade deficit widened in May to $41.9 billion, an increase of $1.2 billion. The Commerce Department report said the gap widened because of a drop in exports that could heighten concerns over weak overseas demand and a strong U.S. dollar. Iraqi security forces are preparing an attack they hope will retake the pivotal city of Ramadi, taken by ISIS. Speaking at the Pentagon Monday, President Barack Obama said the fall of Ramadi 7 weeks ago galvanized the Iraqi government and accelerated an American effort that was moving too slowly. 800,000 people gathered in Ecuador Monday for the first mass of Pope Francis's homecoming tour. The service focused on the family. The pontiff said, "The family today is in need of a miracle." He asked, "How many of our adolescents and young people sense that love and happiness are no longer found in their homes? How many women, sad and lonely, wonder when love left, when it slipped away from their lives? How many elderly people feel left out of family celebrations, cast aside and longing each day for a little love?" Stage 3 of the Tour de France was briefly stopped Monday by a huge crash. The pileup took out 20 riders in seconds. Some who were among the favorites were forced to abandon the race. The illegal immigrant from Mexico, charged Tuesday with the shooting death of a 32-year-old San Francisco woman, had been deported 5 times and had a lengthy criminal record. Federal authorities had asked local police to hold Francisco Sanchez after his last felony conviction, but they refused and released him April 15th. Bill O'Reilly of the Fox News Channel is calling for the arrest of local officials who he says are to blame for the senseless death. A 1943 German Panther tank was discovered and removed last week from the cellar of a wealthy 78-year-old man in Heikendorf, Germany. The town's mayor, Alexander Orth, said he was not surprised by the discovery because the elderly man was, quote, chugging around in that thing during the blizzard of 1978, unquote, adding that some people like steam trains, others like tanks. And that's the worldview on this Wednesday, July 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Broadcasting at a historic moment in this nation's history. Certainly a gathering storm of sorts, especially if you happen to be a member of a Christian church or part of Christian ministry. Concerned about Christian persecution in this country, we have seen multiple instances of Christian persecution. Up to this point, people fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding in Oregon. Cases like this have been increasing and bound to increase even more with the latest Obergefell ruling. Today, we're going to take a special legal analysis of the Obergefell ruling to prepare us for what is to come. We've already heard from various Supreme Court justices and Christian leaders around the country. It was one of the justices that says there was no comfort for religious people in the majority ruling, potentially ruinous consequences, major threats. Through all this, we've got to remember that God is sovereign over the kings of the earth, but at the same time, we are called to wisdom, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and that's why the Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, to equip God's people November 6th and 7th. And for more information, freedom2015.org. By the way, Kelly Shackelford from the Liberty Institute will be one of our keynote speakers at this significant conference on November 6th and 7th, and again, freedom2015.org. Today we're going to be talking with Kelly Shackelford from Liberty Institute, and one of the reasons why is because the legal defense organizations like Liberty Institute are very important. They've been critical to the survival of freedom in this country for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and now they've just become 10 times more relevant. Liberty Institute themselves have handled a number of the most prominent national religious liberty cases in our history, and as I said, Kelly Shackelford is CEO, President of Liberty Institute, and he now joins us on the Generations broadcast. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Kelly, you know, as we look at Obergefell, wow, this seems to me to be the biggest Supreme Court decision, or one of the biggest Supreme Court decisions in the history of this country, perhaps somewhat like Dred Scott, could precipitate a new direction for this country. Your thoughts on that? Just a big picture on Obergefell for a moment.
Well, what Liberty Institute does is religious freedom and only religious freedom. That's our focus.
Mm-hmm.
And many people are looking at this case and they think, oh, this is about marriage. It won't affect me because I'm not interested in that kind of marriage. What they don't understand are the massive religious freedoms implications.
Mm.
And that's what we filed our brief to the court in this case, warning them. We filed on behalf of, you know, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse and, Dr. Stanley, Charles Stanley, and the National Religious Broadcasters and all these major ministries, because they understood what will happen if what happens that we predicted was probably going to happen happens.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain this to people so they understand.
Sure.
It would be one thing if through the democratic process, the LGBT community was to, win the day in the argument and you have gay marriage through the democratic process. That's very different from how this occurred. And the reason that's significant is what the court just did is it created a new, what they call fundamental constitutional right, which is the most protected of all constitutional rights, to same-sex marriage. Well, if you've got this new federal constitutional right to same-sex marriage, well, the immediate question you begin to have to ask is, well, how does that compare to this other constitutional right of free speech?
Yeah.
Or this constitutional right of the free exercise of religion? And we've seen what happens in other countries like Canada. The free speech and freedom of religion take a hit.
Yeah.
And that's just how they balance them out. And so we don't know that yet in our country, but we know that that whole battlefields, thousands of them, are about to now open, whether it's going after the tax exempt status of religious groups, which was admitted during the oral argument, whether it's Christian colleges and schools that will now lose accreditation, whether it's faith-based adoption agencies like Catholic Charities. I'm not going to keep going down the list. I mean, FCC licenses.
Yeah.
How can you let somebody have an FCC license when they're engaged in, quote, discrimination? And so this is going to be, and to match it to every person, this will even affect your profession.
Yeah.
Almost every profession has an ethics code. And if this is added to the ethics code, people will then have a decision. Do you want to be in this profession or do you want to hold to your faith? So this is going to literally come down and touch everyone in a myriad of ways that they're not thinking about. That's why this is such a big decision.
Kelly, America is a little bit unique in the sense that we have so many Christian ministries. We have the Focus on the Family broadcast and hundreds of other broadcasts like this one. What are the implications for Christian radio or Christian access to the Internet, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to happen. Look, I'm not saying we're going to lose all these cases, but I am saying that all these attacks are now about to happen. The way I've tried to explain it to people is some people say, the Obergefell case is the end. It's horrible. It's the end. And, from what we do at Liberty Institute, which is religious freedom, this is the beginning of the war. It's not over. They're just starting. And the question, we're sort of turning full circle. This country was founded by people who left Europe because they weren't allowed to hold to their religious beliefs and to dissent against the government's beliefs. And literally, we are coming full circle now, and we are now going to have to answer the question again, are we going to allow people to dissent and to hold religious beliefs that are different now that the government has established its own definition of marriage? And, I think we will. I mean, I think that's in the DNA of the people of this country, and I think they will not go for this idea of trying to use the power of government to force and coerce people to violate their faith. But we're going to have this battle in every arena now because there's this new weapon that's just been created, and it will be used to argue that, people of faith can't hide behind religion and have any protection.
Let's talk about employment for a second. I'm kind of running through some of the implications of Obergefell. Title VII has certain requirements on employers. How does that affect us?
Well, it affects everybody because now let's say you're a Christian business and you want to run your business, in accordance with your faith. Well, if you have any beliefs or any ways running your according to your faith that disagrees with the federal government on the issue of, homosexuality, lesbianism, gay marriage, et cetera, you're now in violation of federal law.
Wow.
So, and that includes, like, if you're a Christian bookstore.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter if, they don't care. And I say that this is not just going to be, for-profit businesses. This will be nonprofits. They will be telling nonprofit organizations as well that, well, you can do your ministry, but you can't discriminate in hiring. So this is coming after every organization trying to tell every ministry, every business, every citizen what beliefs they can hold on these issues.
Now, the majority opinion on the Obergefell case spoke about religious freedom, that we still have the opportunity to free speech, but they didn't talk free exercise. What's the distinction there?
Well, I mean, I know the dissent tried to make a distinction. I really think that's going, that they were kind of, swatting at gnats a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Look, I think we go with the positive of what was there.
Okay.
This is the majority opinion we're talking about that was written by four liberals and Justice Kennedy. And one of the last paragraphs is making clear that the First Amendment rights to free speech and freedom of religion are not lessened or violated by this opinion. And they specifically said that people do have a right to speak and to disagree with this new government definition of marriage, and they do have a right to live out their faith and to advocate against it and in accordance with their faith. I think that's pretty significant. If that wasn't in the majority opinion, I guarantee you the other side would be using this and saying religious freedom, fails. I mean, that's why they ruled this way. But they were making very clear, it's one thing to say two men have a right to be married in whatever state they want. It's another thing to say this gives the right of the government to coerce or crush people who disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell you what, we are going to cite that majority opinion provision and the dissents. And when you do that, you have 9-0
yeah.
justices
yeah.
who say religious freedom and free speech is still fully protected. This can't be used against that.
So pastors still can preach from Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, and Leviticus 20 without fear of being arrested, at least on the day that they preach that sermon.
That's right. But
okay.
But look, if you look at the homosexual activist groups that are out there, what they're already saying, this is just the beginning, and that they plan to build on this, and that they want a, quote, comprehensive federal law that covers everything. With regard to gay rights and sexual orientation and all those issues. And of course, those, when they do that, they run headlong into all, the religious beliefs of churches, of religious organizations, of individuals. And again, their point is, you can ask them, you're going to have a religious liberty exemption here? And the answer is absolutely not. They're not going to have a religious liberty exemption, because that's exactly why people disagree with them. So they're not going to allow religious groups to be exempt. They want this to apply to everyone. And so this decision is just the beginning in their mind, and this is the battle. And I can't really say it any better than Justice Roberts, who said that Obergefell decision, quote, creates serious questions about religious liberty. We're about to have battles over this and to decide whether we still retain religious liberty or whether that's now going to be subservient to this new right.
And that's one reason I've been saying the next 4 to 5 Supreme Court decisions relating to religious liberty will be really critical over the next 4, 5, 6 years. And therefore, Ginsburg's retirement, she's announced it over the next term, is going to be critical, meaning that the 2016 presidential elections will be a very important moment in the history of this country. You agree with that?
I do. I do. Look, Justice Alito in his dissent said something that I think most people realize is very much a possibility, and yet is chilling.
Yeah.
And he said in his dissent, he says, will people be able to continue to hold their religious beliefs on this issue? He said, yes, maybe, but only through a whisper in the recesses of their home, but not out in public, where they will be called a bigot and the power of the government and everyone else will be able to punish them for that public expression. That's what Justice Alito says we are going if we don't stop where, this is trying to be taken. And so that is going to be really important, who the next Supreme Court justices are. But I will say this. It's very important, the elections, people getting involved, the president appointing who they appoint to the Supreme Court. But one of the first things we did with everybody who's on the Liberty Institute, .org list is we sent out, we told them beforehand, we've got a plan. Here's our plan. If what we think happens. And after it came out, we said, remember, we have a plan. We're ready for this. And point number one of our plan is we can't wait till the elections.
Yeah.
If we wait 18 months or 16 months or whatever, this thing is going rapid fire right now. We have got to be in the courts. We have got to take that majority opinion statement about religious freedom and this not affecting religious freedom or free speech, and we've got to solidify that. We've got to make that precedent. I do think that as long as Justice Kennedy is on the court, we'll have 5 votes for that. I think the 4 liberals will throw the First Amendment out if it conflicts with their issues. So we've got an opportunity now, and we're going to have these battles. We've got to move quickly, and we've got to win, and we've got to have people willing to stand up so that we can preserve these freedoms.
Kelly, I think a lot of people have the impression that the courts are more liberal than the legislatures. Do you think we got a shot in the courts, in the lower courts, the state courts, the federal courts?
Yeah, absolutely we do. Again, you've got 9 justices who said what they said about religious freedom and the First Amendment and the right to disagree, with this new federally created, same-sex marriage. So that's in our favor. I mean, true, President Obama has appointed a lot of judges all over the country. And I'm sure some of those judges, will be difficult to get through. But you go up the chain and you go up through the Court of Appeals into the Supreme Court. And I think the Supreme Court has said, even though, Justice Roberts predicted this, our next big case is going to be on this and whether religious freedom survives. I think it does. If you look at who's on the court right now, because although Justice Kennedy, is in favor of same-sex marriage, I think he clearly is not in favor of using that issue or similar issues to give the government power to crush people who disagree and punish them. And so I think we have a majority right now, and we need to, realize that. We need to stand for religious freedom. And, the first battles began to set the momentum and the direction. And so it's really important. And it's important that people stand up, because this is what, if people just go, I don't want a persecution, or I don't want to suffer anything for my faith, or, that's an attitude of certainly a lot of people. And we're probably going to find out the sheep from the goat, in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But it's a time, it's sort of a Joshua 1 time, that God told the Israelites, be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
Be strong and courageous. And they were, and the end of that, they were in the promised land, but they had to go through that Joshua 1. And I think that's where we are now, where we're being really tested. Are you going to stand for your faith? Are we going to preserve this freedom that this country was built upon? That's going to be determined by us.
So let's apply the full court press, and it takes wisdom to pick the right cases as well, doesn't it, Kelly? I mean, you've got to take the cases with wheels, with legs.
Absolutely, and I can't tell you how many of these though we've had that are great cases that we've won. I think of some of the recent ones we won in the military, for instance, like Sergeant Monk, who after 19 and a half years. Was removed, from his position because he wouldn't agree with his lesbian commander on gay marriage. When Sergeant Monk retired and got all the accolades, the awards, the medals, even extra ones for what he did in standing up, the pastor came to me and he said, do you know that there were 9 other people in my church that had similar things happen to them from this commander? But Sergeant Philip Monk was the only one willing to stand up. So that's what we've got to have. We've got to have people that are willing to be courageous, to do the right thing, and then everybody else needs to come around them and support them, and we can get some good precedent and make sure that we really build a wall against what is being attempted here.
Kelly, just for a moment, talk to the 501c3 ministries, the pastors, the churches out there. How can they prepare right now? How can they protect themselves?
Well, this is a great question because there is something they can do, and most of them aren't aware of this. It used to be that if you were a church or a nonprofit religious organization, the way to go kind of, or the popular thing, was to kind of be vague in your documents so that you wouldn't like attract attention and maybe have somebody come after you. That is not legally the way to go. It hasn't been for over 10 years. What the courts have said, and you know, think of Hobby Lobby and these other cases. Hobby Lobby won in part because they had very specific beliefs. They put those in their founding documents. They said, this is what we stand for. This is why this is important for us. And so when they were sued in the middle of a lawsuit, when they were in the middle of this legal action, they could rely upon that as a religious belief and have protection. But the courts have made clear, if you don't have your beliefs spelled out, you can't rest on them. You can't use those in court to defend yourself. And so one of the things we did is we've worked with a ton of churches, national ministries, and organizations, and really done what we call a legal audit, went through all their documents, said, look, here's where you're missing based upon your beliefs, things that you could add, and really helped them do that. Well, it got so, you know, there were so many thousands, you know, out there that know now that they need to do this, that we actually created a website that makes it real easy for any pastor or church or religious organization to go, and they can look, and it says, here are the legal documents you need to look at that you have. And then it even has templates or sample language that's been used on the major, you know, biblical orthodox issues, whether that be the issue of marriage or the issue of life. And we even have examples from different faith perspectives so that people can pick the one and alter it a little bit to fit their theology. And they can put that in their documents, and now they're in the best situation they can possibly be in if they are attacked. And they probably, I mean, many of these groups are going to be attacked. We're already having churches being called by two men or two women to say, will you marry me? And they know the church is going to say no. They're setting up cases. So it's something that every church and Christian ministry should do. And it's easy. You go to libertyinstitute.org, our website, and about halfway down on the right is a picture of a church, and it says, are you protected? Click on that, and it takes you to, again, all the how-to of which documents to look at and the language that they can use to put into their own document.
And I did that just a few days ago for some of our 501c3 ministries and churches. And, friends, it's very easy. LibertyInstitute.org, it's right there. Kelly Shackelford is CEO and president of Liberty Institute. Will be with us at the National Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Friends, this is the battle line. This is it. We have found the battle line, and it's time for the faithful to show up. We're calling the faithful, the stalwart, the strong, the courageous, to take the stand. Right now is the time to take the stand. It will affect our children and grandchildren, friends. This is the time to stand for liberty. Encourage you to check it out at freedom2015.org. Freedom2015.org. Kelly Shackelford to be at our Religious Liberties Conference November 6th and 7th. He will keynote there. God willing, the Greek don't rise. Kelly, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been very helpful. This is Kevin Swanson on the phone line, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.